Amen.
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 Sister Cynthia, God used that to just break something this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And I think she was breaking the turkey feeling from us. Amen. It's almost as eating too much turkey and still feeling drowsy. Amen.
Amen.
So she has to help us realize we are in God's presence.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Him glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Every time we're here, we are always, it's not only just standing here in front of the church. This is a praying house. So whenever you have a need or something that you really need sustained prayer for, we have a team of people that pray weekly for the needs of this church. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes when our members are not feeling well in hospitals or sick, once we know, we'll be praying. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because we're online, we don't mention, we're very, very, very careful about people's privacy. Amen?
Amen.
But we know that we don't miss opportunity to call our members in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So always let us know when we can be praying for you, because we believe in the power of prayer. Yes. Amen.
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 It's good to see all of you. Can you smile at one another once again? Give them this turkey smile. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Until I got saved, really saved, and became a Christian here in America. Everything I believe I knew before that time was religion. When I got saved, I was so shocked that God was real. I was really shocked. I said, "You are this real? Where have I been?" Growing up, going to churches, going to ministries, going to things, backslid, go back, and you just lived worldly. When I got saved, I was really shocked. I said, "You are real? It's not a story. It's not the things people are preaching in church." Because, you know, when you go to church, we treat all this like history book. We hear messages, we go out. We come back the next Sunday. We go live our lives, we come back. We go through this, we come back. It just, something in us just feels okay. With that knowledge, but we don't know how to deal with problems. So when I got saved, I was really shocked. I said, "God, you're real? How could you be this real? Where have I been? I want to know you. I want to know you." If you created this world and you made everything that looks so glorious, so great, so amazing, I've always thought you're in heaven somewhere and we're here in the earth and we just read your stories and you're satisfied with it. So as long as we come to church, read your stories, go back, we're talking about you sitting in heaven, one day we'll die, go to heaven, and some people will go to hell. And that's, I thought, that's all it's all about. And but let us keep struggling with the things we struggle with. Let's deal with problems where everybody deals with problems. And no difference between a Christian and unbeliever when problems come, when situations arise. I was very disappointed to find that wasn't true when I met Jesus. There are three levels of encounters with God before we go into the Word. One, so you understand it, let me say this place is the outer court of the temple or the tabernacle. This place is the outer court. You're coming from here. This place is the holy place where the Word and the lampstand is. This place is the Holy of Holies. Amen? So really quick, just three levels of encounter. The first level is salvation. You encounter God here on the outer court. And on this place, a lot of the things you learn about God is in your brain. It's just knowledge. It's like any other study law, study science, study medicine, anything you study is in your brain. And whatever you study that is in your brain is knowledge. And you can only apply knowledge. But it does not impact the spiritual realm of your life, which is the soul and the spirit. It's just in the brain, so it's knowledge. So that's the outer court. You just got saved, you started reading about the Word. Just when you allow that Word to get into your heart, you meditate upon it. Before you move, that Word becomes real here. You'll be tested here. The Bible says the word of the Lord, Psalm 105, tested Joseph. He had a dream that this is what God says about him, and then he went to test. James chapter 1 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, tempting, for the testing of our faith." What is faith? Is that knowledge or do you believe it? Is that knowledge or is it real? Is it another history book or is it a real person I need to meet? So you'll be tested here. And the test will come either through you come to church, you walk away, or it can be, do you go back to read the Bible? Do you meditate on the things that I shared after church? Or when you go through some problems or needs, minor needs, or do you say, what did the Word say about this? What did that thing I read say about, how do I do this? What is the commandments of God? What are the things I'm learning about the kingdom of God? So you'll be tested even in that knowledge. Basic knowledge. You go through tests, just like in school. Every time you pass the test of knowledge, it brings you to revelation. Revelation is your spiritual eyes begins to see, this thing is real. God starts giving you understanding. The Word says understanding. It's in that holy place you have the Word and you have the light shining on the Word. Here is just the Word outside. You just entered the kingdom. Then the Word is here and the light is shining on the Word. It's revelation. Understanding. That part, now you're beginning to get the Word into your life. And now that you've been tested here, and it's no more that particular scripture, maybe God so loved the Word. It might not be every scripture, or it might just be casting down vain imagination. You've read the Word, and all of a sudden, you're seeing things that you don't want to see, you're going to. And you start saying, God, I cast down this vain imagination. I have a sound mind. I don't have fear. And you start quoting, and all of a sudden you feel better. That Word was tested. When that Word tested, it becomes a little bit revelation to you. You say, wow, that looks like that Word was real. God really moved. Something happened. So from here, when a Word is tested, then it creates revelation. That revelation is telling you you are beginning to see truth. You're beginning to see reality in what you've been reading. And the moment you see truth and reality, you make a decision based on it. That decision you make changes something in you here. The way you used to do things before, or the way you used to, for example, let's say it's lost, and you've read the word, and then you are here and say, you said I should not behold any vain thing in my eyes, I should keep my eyes on the Lord, and you start quoting certain scriptures, great peace have those whose mind is set upon the Lord, and you start thanking God for the word of God, thank you for the blood of the Lamb, and just keep praising God, and you get a breakthrough, or you overcome that situation. When that experience takes place, once you're here, that same situation comes again. You're no more at that level. At this level, that word comes out now clearer. That word comes, you stand on it because it worked. You now stand on it and you now use that word and you stand on that word and you stand on that word. And now the level of fear and the level of temptation and the level of trials you were here before has reduced, because here now you have a weapon and you're beginning to overcome. So it changes the level of your walk in your soul. So if it's a bottle of water that was the fruit of your spirit, maybe it was low before. Now there's a change. That water increases in that glass. You now develop more resilience towards temptation, more temperance. You now develop more patience through that trial. You now develop more stability in place of fear, your faith. It's a development, it's a growing of faith. It's a growing of the fruit of the Spirit. You're changing. And that change that is taking place in you is also causing something to leave you, which was your past, the things you were dealing with in your soulish realm. So now, here was knowledge on the outer court. Like every other book, no book, no psychology book, no book you read will be different from that book until you're tested. And you know that that book is not a book, it's a person. So here is knowledge. You go from the knowledge, word, letter. Here you go to revelation. Light has come. This is real. God is answering prayer. The word of God just is real. I stood on it, I prayed, I waited, and I overcame. It works. Now, as you grow through that process, the third level is Holy of Holies. On just that level I'm talking about, as you go from knowledge to revelation, when you are now tested, you'll be tested, every guy you'll be tested on revelation. When you have revelation or dream about something, you receive it just like Jeremiah receives this revelation. This is what God is going to do, this is how he's going to do it. Or you receive a dream like Joseph. God says, I'm going to be a great man. You know, it's so clear. It's gone from knowledge. You've been tested. They threw you in the pit. They sold you as a slave. They put you through. And you keep keeping your mind on it. Like James, you're going through these trials. But you keep keeping your mind on the Lord. Keep keeping your mind on the Lord. Something happens to your soul. Something changes. And next time when you come here, maybe you're worshiping God, maybe you're praying, maybe you're just waiting on the Lord, maybe you're reading those scriptures and you're going through those trials, here, something changes. It changes from letter, it changes from revelation. This revelation, this word is no more revelation. This same word that was revelation begins to speak to your spirit as a voice. It becomes a person talking to you. It goes from letter, knowledge. It goes from revelation, like I'm sharing with you now. When it comes here, you've been tested, here. That same word is no more revelation. That same word, when you're going through trials, it begins to speak with you. I am here, listen. I am here, you overcome. I have healed you, be patient. You hear it, it's the same word, speaking back to you. Now it becomes the Holy Spirit, becomes the Lord speaking to you. It's no more knowledge, it's no more revelation. You're going through trials, and you hear this voice telling you, it's okay, you'll be alright. Where is it coming from? Did I read it? Is it? No, it's no more revelation. It's now God speaking to you. So those are the transformational stages of growing in the Lord. So as you grow here and you keep on growing and keep on growing, that's the same way you grow here and keep growing, just, and then you keep maturing until this place goes from, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, God is not just there. The Word of God, it comes to a point where when you are worshiping here, or you are praying here, or you're sitting in your closet here, you know you're not alone. You don't have to feel a wind. You don't have to feel storm. You don't have to feel earthquake like God was telling Elijah. You don't have to feel anything. The kingdom of God is not with outward appearance. Your spirit with this bears witness with you that God is here. That's the growing process. Let me give one example before we go further. Out here, Elisha was training a man to be in the ministry. And whenever God trains you about the kingdom of God, Jesus makes it very clear about carrying your cross. Basically, carrying cross means as long as you live in the flesh in this world, you will go through tribulations. You will go through trials. You will go through persecutions. You will go through trials. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome. No time did God say Christianity, as long as you live in this world, you'll just be flying in the air. No, it's not. You have body. You have a soul. You have an enemy. You have people. Say people.
People.
With different mindsets. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough trial.
Yes.
Amen. So he never promised you just, it's when you get to heaven you can fly anywhere you want. Amen. But as long as you have this fallen nature, you will deal with temptations. You will deal with disappointments. You will deal with offenses. You will deal with difficult times. The difference between the world and us is what I'm trying to tell you. There has to be a difference. So, out here, Elijah's servant, God was training him on how to deal with problems. Out here were Syrian soldiers coming to persecute them, to arrest them and deal with them. Enemy soldiers. In multitudes, they already besieged them, surrounded them. So watch how this works. It's out here. Every human being can see what is out here with human eyes. On this outer court, everything is mostly natural, except that you're born again. But everything you see is always your brain. Because you're still a baby, you don't even know what you've been born into. Like a little child. So, out here, there was a challenge. There was a serious challenge. So you can see physically. Amen?
Yeah.
Here, again, is revelation. And then it's in the spirit. So Elijah met the servant here, because we're spirit, soul, and body. He met the servant here. And the servant said, "Sir, I went outside and we have serious problem. We have serious problem. The armies of the Syrians are all over the mountain and they are after us." This was outside here. Every human being must deal with the system of this world, must deal with the flesh, must deal with the things of this world. God is not ignorant of it by sending his son to die to give us a way of victory. There's problems. To be ignorant of problems means you will not really appreciate your calling to the kingdom. So the servant was afraid. Everybody say afraid.
Afraid.
Anytime there's a problem you can fix, your security goes to what you have that you can fix it. And then there's no fear. Because you have the means. Either you have the money in the bank, or you have a brother you can call, or a sister you can ask this, or that. It can be fixed physically. But anytime you deal with something that sometimes you don't even know the source of solution, the first thing that pops in your heart, everybody say fear.
Fear.
That's human. Very human, very real. Very, very real. Fear intimidates you. Fear arrests you. Fear imprisons you. And if you keep going deeper with that situation, fear will take you captive.
Amen.
And that's why Paul says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear came to this man in the outer court. Fear. We're in trouble. We're going to die. This is going to happen to us. Then, listen to what Elijah did. Elijah prayed. He told him, first of all, Elijah said, "Son, relax. There are more," listen to this, "there are more with us than they are against us." My brothers and sisters, I am here. I am seeing trouble, armies, sickness, financial needs, problems, difficulties. And then somebody comes to me and say, "These things you are seeing is nothing compared to the solution that God has for you. What are you talking about? This is real. We are about to be invaded. We're about to die. This sickness is real. This financial, this situation is overwhelming." And he's confessing it. Elijah could not confess that, even though Israel. Elijah confessed something else. He says, "No, there is more with us. There is more for us than what? Against us." I believe if you pay attention this morning, something will change in your heart.
Amen.
We don't come to church to have just knowledge. Revelation brings impartation. And every time I've told you when I come here, I'm always thinking about, what God, what do you have to help us overcome? To help us overcome. Because problems are inevitable in this earth. What makes us believers is the ability to overcome and live a victorious life. Elijah told him, God has already provided a solution. The man can see it. Why did Elijah see it? Why did Elijah confess the word of God in Psalms? That the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. It's a scripture. But that scripture is head knowledge to him, head knowledge to those in the outer court. It's not yet a reality. So Elijah is a reality to him. So Elijah said, okay, God,
open his eyes.
Take this man from the outer court. Take him away from this revelation that I'm giving to him. Because I give him a revelation. There are more for us than there. That's a revelation. He can't see it. Bring him in here and show him what I see. So the man's eyes open. What do you mean eyes open? Eyes open. When eyes open and you see things in the spirit that are real, not revelation, you are in there. You are in the spirit. So God opened his eyes. You can go read it. Second Kings. In other words, God brought him to this Holy of Holies. That's what we call spiritual realm. And his eyes open. And this eyes, in other words, God took him from the outer court and catapulted him to the holy place. In a brief moment, he saw from where Elisha is already living. And his eyes opened and he saw chariots of fire, armies of heaven surrounding him. That's already a scripture in the book of Psalms. That scripture for Gehazi or for those of the outer court Christians, that scripture is a knowledge. We quote it. Amen?
Amen.
So that scripture, when people preach it like Elijah preached it to the servant, it's like a revelation. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, like I'm saying. Don't be afraid. God has people surrounding us. Don't be afraid. If you are praying, believe God is working on the situation. Don't be afraid. Believe God will come true. We pray. We believe God. Don't be afraid. This sickness is not for that. It's for the glory of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The financial breakthrough will come. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about. Don't be afraid. Your miracle will surely come. Don't worry. It's all revelation. And revelation comforts you, encourages you. But to own it, you have to see beyond revelation. So, for that servant, revelation didn't help overcome the fear. He had to see reality, not revelation. And that reality is in the presence of God. And when he saw that, something happened to him. As soon as he experienced the spiritual realm, he had peace. Amen? And there was a shift from fear, outer court, from fear. He now tasted this place. And this place was no more revelation. He now knew this God is real. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I meant when I started. I was shocked that God is real. I thought it's just a religion. Just go to church, go back, continue your old lifestyle, go back, go to confession, confess, and go back again. I didn't know that the creator of this universe has made provision for transformation. And not only transformation, for relationship. And not just relationship. You are his son. So that's how scripture works. Knowledge to revelation to reality. three levels of experience of God. So the question you ask yourself, how do I go from here to here to here? Everybody say, try out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
Michael, you're graduating when? This December. Did you study, just get up and graduate? Are you going through testings? Exams? Serious exams? The light you're graduating is, isn't it? This December.
Yes, sir.
You just had head knowledge? Did you go through tests? The reason the book of James says rejoice when you go through trials. I have been there, and I'm sure you've probably been there. I don't think I rejoice when I'm going through trials. Because my flesh doesn't like it. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's knowledge. That's knowledge. But if you have been through a lot of testimonies like Elijah, like Moses, there are certain trials as they start coming, you rejoice. Because you already know what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
But before we get to that point, none of us can rejoice when we're going through trials because we're facing some difficult situation. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes what makes it worse is when you tell another believer, I'm going through this, they start quoting scripture for you like, what are you doing going through? What are you doing not rejoicing? They take that scripture literally and say, rejoice! Rejoice! Maybe the person is not there yet. I'm explaining to you. Maybe if not been there, I know I'm calling her name. No, that's Daisy's sister's name. Rejoice. Sometimes, like Job's friends, we have not gained experience of something. We are still in the letter of it. It's like telling Elijah's servant, why are you afraid? Why are you, don't you know the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear him? I can't see. All I see is the enemy, they're going to kill us. You don't have faith. Why are you not believing? You can quote scripture you want. If you have not been tested, you will not understand. If you've not been tested and passed the test, you will not have revelation. You'll still be murmuring scriptures of people. And especially after you pass the test of revelation, when you come here, you become more compassionate with people out there. Quoting scripture doesn't mean you know it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. You take scripture, you tie the people around, and you yourself have not even practiced it. You're not experiencing. So, here, you have to be tested. You have to experience. That man had to see something real, different from what is on ground. Then how did faith come? He saw. And as soon as he saw, he says, now I understand. And by faith, they arrested all those armies and took them captive. Elijah blinded all of them. Amen?
Amen.
So, you can never change your position until you see something that makes you change your position in the things of God. You can never give up something until something bigger than that thing occupies your life. You have to be tested on the outer court. You have to be tested here for this place to speak to you. And you say, I am willing to pass through the Red Sea because I know that I know. I heard you say that's the way. And then the rest is there. And the people are saying, how could you have led us this way? How could you have led us this way? Look at Pharaoh's army coming. Look at, again, trials. What is the purpose of trials? The word of God. Which level are you in when you're tested on this word? Are you on the outer court still saying, hey God, are you real? Can you see? Can you help me? That's real. We've been there. We cry. Or is your testing in this place where you have received revelation and say, God, I'll wait. I know I'm here. I know it's happening. I just keep thinking. I keep believing. I know the breakthrough is come. And you endure like Abraham patiently. Mm. Patiently. Because you have received revelation. And then eventually breakthrough come. So when you are tested, where is the word of God in your life being tested? For Moses is already used to this place. But guess what the test Moses faced when he was here? The test of spiritual maturity was what God taught Moses and what God taught Elijah. What is that maturity? He doesn't test people on the altar court that way. What was their test? It was a test of the level to which they are hearing God in this place. What was their test? The test was, God told him in this secret place, Moses, this is the rest, this is the part you're going to go. And everybody looking in the physical, like Elisha, everybody looking, how could that be? How could that be? Look at Pharaoh, even the enemy can see that you missed it. And that's why they know you missed it. Now, where is the road here? Where is the road here? How can that be? Moses was moved by too many voices and pushed him. He ran back to God here. He said, God, God, God. God said, Moses, listen, don't pray to me. You already have me here. You've received from me here. Just keep walking. This place, God will not trust you with that kind of closed door and you're carrying people. No. God will not trust Joshua to go walk around Jericho. No. He has gone through testing. Because it's a roadblock and God says that's the way. And you have all these people with you and you have the enemy coming, you better be hearing God. Because in reality, the enemy meant to finish them there. So Moses, everybody has a test in different levels. He was being tested. And then, as Moses took the next step, everything started moving. We read it. It's a story to us. But he was tested. And that's why we are reading this story today. If he didn't pass that test, we wouldn't be reading that story. Of the level to which he has become a reality. It's your decision. Jesus has made a way all the way to here. It's your decision how far you want to go. Last week I shared with you, the Bible says, many are called, but very few people desire to even study, go through, and do what it takes to even get revelation. And even the revelation, they meditate. When the trials come for that revelation, sometimes they drop it and face other things. Every trial you pass through based on the scriptures promotes you in the spirit. Not only promotes you, it destroys soulish worms in you. It breaks things that man cannot change. Knowledge cannot change you. It's the test of knowledge that transforms you. If you're not tested on things, how do you know it's real? So, when James said rejoice when we face through diverse temptation, it's not saying you automatically be excited because you can't pay your bill, excited because you have this or that. No. But there comes a point when you begin to see the faithfulness of God. Every trial, every situation, God, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers. Now, you guys, an amazing testimony. She's here worshiping. She was very open to you this morning, very transparent about her struggle, but she still came to worship. You have heard over and over her testimony, but today, why is it a testimony? God brought her through the test. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us want big, big, big testimonies. Amen?
Amen.
Big, big testimonies come with big, big trials. Amen?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, if any situation you're going through today, let that situation test the word of God in your head. If you pass through that and you're able to stand and God starts revealing to you, let it go through. The moment you have a breakthrough, one major breakthrough, or two or three, something makes God personal to you. Personal. I was going through some. See, I live in trials daily. You can't be a pastor, you know, because the only reason is because this is real. I deal with issues daily as a pastor. I remember, we're not just talking about this, I work with a coordinated national leadership body. I deal with people, situations. We deal with, at different levels. But how do you overcome? Because this thing is real. Prayer is real. Testing is real. Trials are real. You don't live in peace because you want to. You live in peace because you overcome stress. This world cannot give you peace. It's saying the word that be troubled. But I have peace for you. Why? Because you have come to this place. I was going through something one time. God let me go through to it. It was such a big test, personal trial. I was going through this, and because I knew about it, I believe God for every financial thing. I really thank God for those that are faithful in giving to my Zion. But if I keep my faith on man, I will not pay my own bills. I will not. Do we have people who pay salaries in church? It will not happen. I have to trust God daily for the need of everything. If all of us keep the commandment of God, no church will lack. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But I personally challenge God. I really want to depend on you. And let people obey God. Do what they want to do. If they obey God, God bless. So I was going through this trial, and it was so intense, and I've worshipped the Lord, I've done all the things, you know, just based on where God is taking me. There are certain things I cannot just behave like I'm at the altar court. There are things you've overcome, so you practice what you know. So I just spent time worshipping God, doing, and one day I was just walking from my room to the bathroom area, just walking. And from this Holy of Holies, I heard the voice here says, I am with you. It's over. It's okay. That's all I needed. Once you hear It doesn't come when you want it. Mm-hmm. It comes when you need it. Mm-hmm. When I hear that still small voice, like I told you, I wasn't reading Revelation and praying. It was now this thing speaking to me. It says, it's okay. The next week, that thing was taken care of. Supernaturally, $34,000 just like that, cleared. Any Christian or anybody that preaches here that doesn't tell you to go through trials, they are lying. It is trials that make you a believer.
Yes, sir.
How will you believe if you don't test it? Amen?
Amen.
If you don't go through things, how will you know that it works?
Amen.
So we should not condemn or beat people down because they go through things. Amen. Sometimes we don't even want pastors or Christians to say, I had a headache yesterday. Oh, we had a headache. Amen?
Amen?
If you have a headache, okay, wait, let me finish. I pray that the headache went away. Amen?
Amen.
See, we make it so hard for us as believers to share what we're going through. Because we put scriptures on the people. Why? Instead of saying, I'm agreeing with you. I'm praying for you.
Amen.
You will overcome this.
Amen.
You win this battle.
Amen.
Not, have you read this scripture? Have you done this? Have you done that? You know, you will never see anywhere where Jesus condemned people in struggle. He will always lift them up.
Yes.
He will always bring them out of the situation. He will always heal them before he said, don't do it again. So, I can share with you trials in different areas I've been through. But I have found out this person is real. And it's very easy to give him the problems. The only thing that is not easy is waiting for that solution to come. But once you learn to surrender it to him, your peace is guaranteed. Says it's a peace that passeth all understanding. Why? You have peace. The thing is not moved yet, but you're enjoying your life. And then later it moves away. Why? Because you're not dealing with head knowledge. You're not dealing with, you're dealing with somebody you know. And that person loves you. And has power. And all you need. That's all that God is calling for. Especially as believers. Now, before we close, my brothers and sisters, the reason why it's important for us to discipline our life as believers, to meditate. I shared with you about GPS last week. The world has intensified the distraction and deception. And if you are not meditating or going, just yesterday alone, I sat at my window. One scripture, I don't know how long I spent digesting one scripture to make it go through my system. I finished, by the time I did my devotion, I went back to that scripture, I was kneeling down to pray. I was still getting that scripture from here, I was bringing it. How does it look like there? One scripture. My brothers, let us not labor in vain. God is real. There are so many people out here that they don't want knowledge. They are out there in your workplace. They are out there in your everywhere you go. Every time you tell them knowledge, they can tell the difference between knowledge and reality. Nobody will believe what you don't believe. If your life doesn't show it to them, they can smell it. Amen? For the sake of not just us, two things, overcoming our own personal needs, family needs, children. God is the most practical person. He cares about our children, our grandchildren. He cares about our financial life. He says, all these things are necessary. Very necessary. He said, but for you to really enjoy the kingdom influence over these things in this world, you have to make God a priority. Mm-hmm. Seek first. Make God a priority. And you will see if God is not faithful to show you, I know, even before you prayed, you need these things. I care about you. Every area, even if, what is it? He says even what? Some of us don't have hair, but it's still long as there. Amen?
Amen.
Kuka is not here, so let him go. He says, I have numbered. What is not, it's not like God is saying I'm numbered now. He's just telling you the details of your life are consigned to me. I am mindful of every detail of even to your hair that falls down.
Yes.
Why would he not care for your job, for your business? So please, let's not make God a liar. Amen?
Amen.
I want to read the scripture then. Here, in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Everybody say Matthew 7.
Matthew 7.
This is what the Lord said from verse 24. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth what?
Huh?
And put them into what?
Practice.
Practice, doctor. And put them into practice. I will show you, I will liken him unto what? A wise
man.
Why did he use the word wise man? Because anybody that looks at their face in the mirror and walks away and did not change their look. Do you understand what the Bible says about it? He's deceiving himself.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Brother Landry, how are you?
Yes.
Amen. Did you use the mirror today? Oh, yes, you did. Huh?
Yes,
use the mirror.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How could you look so pretty and like this if you didn't look at the mirror? There's no way. Huh? And then when you looked at the mirror, did you see, you saw everything was good and you left. If there was a cream on this face and cream on that face, what would you do? You clean it. My brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus is saying here. He says, anybody that is not practicing what they know will look like somebody who looked at the mirror, look at how things are, look at how things are, look at, and walk away and never remember the way they look. No change. You can never change, no matter the knowledge, if you don't practice it. It says, and do, I would like you to talk to a wise man. He said, by the way, people that do the word of God, he says, they are what? Wise people. Now look at why he says, they are what? A wise man which built his house upon what?
A
rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house. And it what? Fell down. Jesus is saying trials are sure. Situations are sure. Offenses are sure. Accusations are sure. In this fallen world, sickness will come. Things will happen. Say, but If you look at the mirror, if you practice the word, it says you are not standing on your strength. You are standing on the promises of God. And nothing will cause your house to fall.
That's right.
Nothing!
Yes.
Because you're not standing on flesh. You're standing on the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he said, and every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto what?
Foolish man.
What word? He said, foolish man. Why is it foolish? Because which built his house upon what?
Sand.
Okay, sand. And it says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and what happened to it?
It fell.
It didn't just fall, it said it was devastation. It could be marriage. It could be anything. Whatever it is, God is saying nothing can defeat you if you are standing. That is why the Bible says God is not a liar. I'm telling you, I don't know, you've been through stuff, I have been through stuff. But there's not one that has not brought testimonies. That's why